Once again, this is Jim Rowe, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we thank the Lord for 21 years now. We have been bringing these broadcasts to you, and we praise the Lord for this day. It's a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today we're going to be looking at the parable of the sower, one of the great parables that Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 13. And this is a very good teaching parable. I use it a lot in crusades over in Africa. Has many good teaching points within the parable. And so we're going to be looking at it today. And you will find yourself somewhere in this parable. You will identify with one of the types of soil that Jesus spoke about in this parable. So we'll take up this message, turn to Matthew chapter 13, and we'll start in verse 3 here in... Well, once again, this is Jim Rowe, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. Want to give you a brief update what's going on in Kenya before we get started in the message. As you have probably heard, we're building a school over there in Makunda Village, a primary school for 200 to 300 students, and we would love to have you come on board and help us to get this school built. It's going to be not only a school to teach the ABCs, the basics of education, but also it will be a school where we will tell about Jesus and sing songs about Jesus, and so the kids that come there will get an education in the gospel as well. And so it'll be an evangelism outreach. We'd love to have you help us build this school. We're going to need $300,000 before it's all said and done. We're already in the construction project working on the second building. And so if you would like to have details on that project, contact me. PurePrairie@hotmail.com. PurePrairie@hotmail.com. I can get you more details and what the school is going to look like. And so we would love to have you come on board with that project. Well, today we're going to be talking about the parable of the sower. And as I spoke in the preview, this is one of the great parables. In my mind, probably the greatest parable that Jesus spoke. It has many teaching points in the parable, and so it's appropriate for people of all facets in the kingdom of God, those that know God, those that are just coming into the kingdom, those that are just receiving the word for the first time. Everybody can find themselves within this parable, and so it will speak to your heart, it will speak to your goal as far as getting to know God and serving the Lord. It will speak to all of that. And so it's a very important parable. I have preached it many times in the Crusades over there because people come to the Crusades out of curiosity, and people come that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord. And so this parable speaks to them to let them know what is coming in their life and to let them know what they can expect if they receive the word of God, if they pursue God in their life. And so Jesus starts out here in Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to start in verse 3. Then Jesus spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. And some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth or no root within himself. Verse 6, but when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Well, verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. And Jesus finished this by saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Well, Jesus spoke many teachings in parables, and the reason he did that was because the people that he was speaking to were simple people, for the most part, agrarian people, very similar to the kind of people that we teach and speak to in Africa on a weekly basis. Many of the people in Makunda Village are subsistence farmers, and so they don't have a lot of sophisticated theological training or sophisticated training of any kind. Many of them dropped out of school when they were grade 6 or grade 8. And so Jesus said, he speaks to them, verse 13, he speaks to them in parables because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And so the parables are simple stories that have a point that can be easily understood, can be easily transferred into a person's heart, and then that person then will gain understanding of what Jesus is trying to say. And of course, they didn't have Bibles in that day. There was no Bibles. There was Old Testament scrolls and Old Testament scriptures. But they had no Bibles to rely on. They had no teaching tapes. They had no conferences to go to. And so everything that we have today is such a blessing to understand the kingdom of God. Concordances and all kinds of teaching materials to help us understand. And even today, people understand in some ways, they understand in their mind, but many times the word does not get planted in their heart. So then in verse 18 in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus goes on then to give more explanation of the parable of the sower. He says in verse 18, therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. That is he who receives seed by the wayside. And so the word of God is seed that is planted in your heart. And it could be planted by a radio broadcast, a preacher on the radio, a preacher on television. It could be planted by somebody who speaks the word over you. Maybe you've had a prophetic word spoken over you by somebody, or even just a neighbor or a friend who has dropped a scripture into your heart and into your life. And so the devil has a plan, and his plan is contrary to the plan of God in your life. His plan is to destroy and steal and kill from you, and to take from you your destiny that God has ordained and God has chosen for you. God spoke over you even before you were born. He spoke your destiny and he spoke your calling. And many of you out there listening to me today, you've not walked into your calling. You've procrastinated. You've turned away from God. You've gone sideways. Some of you have gone backwards. And so God wants to fulfill his word in your life. He wants to see his word planted in your heart. And then you receive understanding of it. You receive knowledge of Jesus Christ and God's plan for your life. And so this is God's plan, that you fulfill the good plans, the good things that he has for you. Well, in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5, Solomon says, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. And so when people speak the word of God to you, pay attention. When people speak and tell you about things of the kingdom of God, spiritual things, pay attention. God is trying to speak to you. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And that's where pride comes in, beloved. Many of us have pride, and pride goes before the fall. Pride goes before destruction, and many can't receive the word of God. They have too much pride. They are full of themselves, and there's no room for God in their life. There's no room for the word of God. They think they know everything. You can't teach them. You can't tell them. And so, again, Solomon says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom, and instruction. Beloved, you're all going to stand before Jesus Christ someday and make an account of your life. You're going to have to account for every careless word that you speak, every careless deed that you do, everything that brings glory to the devil or to the enemy in your life. You're going to have to account for that. And so God wants you to understand that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Start to fear God in your life. Beloved, start to fear God and understand you're going to have to stand before Him someday and make an account of your life. And so the word gets planted in the wayside or along the wayside. It doesn't actually get in the soil. It is not understood. Then the wicked one comes and snatches it away, what was sown in the heart. And that's a picture of the bird coming along, picking up the seed on the wayside. It doesn't even get into the soil. The bird snatches it away, and then there's nothing that happens. There's no planting of the seed in the heart. There's no taking root. And so it's all finished before there's any understanding. Well, in verse 20 then, Jesus goes on to say, "But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word, and immediately he receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a short while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." Well, this has been the story for many, many people. I think we can all recognize this person, this type of soil. You receive the word in your heart, you receive it with joy, you know there's truth in the word, you're happy, you want to praise the Lord. Maybe happens at a church camp, or maybe happens when you receive the word from some television preacher or radio preacher, and you receive it with joy, and you know it's true. But when you start to act out and start to walk into that calling, you understand and you start to receive tribulation or persecution that arises from it, because everybody in your circle of friends, everybody in your family, everybody at your workplace isn't overjoyed because you have a new religion, you have a new lifestyle, and you are then going to be subject to persecution. Beloved, get ready if you are a baby believer, or if you're hearing me today for the first time and receiving this word, receiving this message. Get ready, because you are going to receive persecution. In fact, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Verse 11, Matthew 5, verse 11, "Blessed are you when they revile you, and when they persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Beloved, if you're going to serve Jesus Christ, our Master, beloved, he said that a servant is not greater than his master. And just as they persecuted Jesus and eventually killed him, they are going to persecute you. The people who don't love Jesus and have no desire for the things of God, they're going to persecute you. Maybe coming from somebody even within your own family, somebody within your own nuclear family, may even be your wife or your husband, maybe somebody in your church, even a born-again believer. People speak against each other. They get jealous of each other. They want to tear each other down, even in the church. And so be prepared, because persecution is going to come your way if you really catch on fire for the Lord. Persecution is nothing more than the devil rising up to try to destroy what the kingdom of God is building. The devil rises up and he crushes the word, because the people cannot go forward and they don't want to suffer that persecution. They'd rather have the praises of their friends. They'd rather have the circle of friends that they had before they came to know Jesus Christ as Lord. And so the word vanishes, the word gets crushed, and that is the stony places. There's no good soil for the root to go down. Well, in verse 22, then Jesus goes on to say, now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Well, that's a good start. People receive the seed among the thorns. There's a good soil among the thorns, but the thorns grow up within the kingdom of God. The thorns grow up within that word as it starts to take root and starts to grow a plant, and that thorny plant then grows and it chokes out the word that has been planted. It chokes out, and those of you who've grown crops in places where there's a lot of thorny plants, you know that those thorny plants get up, they wrap around the good plants, they pull them down, they choke them out, and so the word then is choked out. And Jesus said, this is the worries and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. Well, Jesus had a lot to say about the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. He said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That doesn't mean you have to quit your job and go stand on a street corner and preach. You may be blessed in doing that if God is calling you to do that. But if you've got a family and children, you better keep your day job while you're trying to get your ministry established. But you cannot love money over God. You cannot serve the things of this world and the pursuit of riches over God. If you do that, you're going to be making all kinds of compromises in your life. You're going to be making compromises, and eventually the word of God will get squashed and it will eventually vanish in your life. And so the riches then become a lure for many people. The riches take precedence, and the desire for riches, the pursuit of riches, take precedence. They take priority in a person's life, and the first thing you know, people are working 24/7, they're even working all day on Sunday, and they're not able to go to church, they don't have time to pray, they don't have time to read their Bible, they never go to a church camp, they don't send their children to a church camp, they don't go to a retreat, they just don't have time because the riches of the world are calling them. They want the boats, they want the golf club membership, they want everything, all of the latest gadgets, and there will be no end to the latest gadgets, beloved. There will always be something more that you think you need if that is your goal in life, is to accumulate things, accumulate big beautiful houses and big beautiful cars, and that will take precedence and priority over your life if you allow it, and you will not be able to pursue the things of the kingdom of God. Jesus went on to say in verse 25, Matthew 6, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Beloved, many people in this country are suffering from anxiety. They have anxiety disorders. They have fear of the future. They think they will run out of money. They think they don't have enough to pay the bills. and they're afraid for their life. They're afraid they might lose their job. They're full of fear. And beloved, if that's you, you need to put your life on the altar before God. You need to put your life on the altar before Jesus Christ. Say, Jesus, I trust in you. I trust in you. I'm going to seek you first. I'm going to spend time every morning reading your word. I'm going to spend time in prayer, praying for my family, praying for my country, praying for my church, praying for the things of God in my life. It's okay to ask God for things in your life. It's okay to say, God, I need this, I need that. Pray for your daily bread. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs 3, 4, 5, and 6. It says, trust the Lord in all of your ways. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. Lean not on your own understanding. And when you do that, then the Bible says that the Lord will make your path straight. And so as you start to spend time with the Lord, as you start to speak blessings over your life that come from God's word, start to speak blessings over God's will for your life, you will see things start to change in your life. You'll start to see things become more godly in your pursuits. Beloved, and all those things that you thought you needed before when you were on the rat race and working to buy this, to buy that, and have all of the latest gadgets and all of the latest clothing, beloved, you will find that you can do without those things. You'll start to be content with a simpler lifestyle. You'll start to be content with the peace that is in your heart. Well, the final kind of soil Jesus talks about in verse 23 in Matthew 13, but he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. So that's the first part right there. You hear the word and you understand it. You are willing to be taught. You're willing to receive instruction. You're willing to say, God, I fear you. I love you. I know my life is because of you. I know the things that I have is because of you. And so you start to understand God's plan for your life, God's plan and his will, not only for you, but for your family and for this nation. Now he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, and indeed bears fruit and produces some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Well, we see this seed going into ground that's like good black Kansas soil. Beloved, when we plant over in Kenya, we are planting in red, rocky, marum soil, has practically no topsoil on it. And when I come back to Kansas and I see this good black soil here and the beautiful maize crops, the beautiful wheat crops, the beautiful vegetable crops in the gardens, I just say, praise God for this soil out here in Kansas. This is the 100-fold, the 60-fold, and the 30-fold soil that Jesus was talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, the Apostle Paul talks about, I planted, but Apollos watered, and God gives the increase. Verse 7, so then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So if you are planting seed, if you're working for the kingdom and you're planting seed, somebody else comes along, they water that seed, somebody else comes along and prays for somebody to receive a healing, another person comes along and prays again for that person to receive a healing, and it is God Almighty, the Lord God Almighty, who gives the increase. You're going to receive your reward. You will be standing before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10. It says that every single person will receive a reward for the things that they've done in the flesh, whether good or bad. This isn't a judgment according to salvation or for salvation. This judgment is to assay and ascertain and judge the things that a person has done in their life in the flesh for the kingdom of God. And so you're going to receive a reward, whether you're planting or whether you're watering or whether you're cultivating, whether you're fertilizing. You're going to receive a reward if you're working for the kingdom of God. And so that seed that gets planted in that good soil, I hope that is you. I hope that good black soil is you. I hope that is your heart, that you receive the word, you understand it, and you start to act on it. If you are a baby believer and you don't know much about God's word, you can keep tuning in to this broadcast each and every Sunday, and we will welcome you here and other broadcasts of other ministers of the gospel, and other people will water what I have planted. Other people will cultivate what has been planted here, and we all then will contribute to the increase that comes when people are working together to build the kingdom of God. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, the kingdom of God is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until it was all leavened. It's like yeast in the bread. You just put in a little teaspoon of yeast, and eventually the whole big bowl of dough is then saturated with that yeast. That's what the kingdom of God is like. You can be a part of building the kingdom of God. You can help water, you can help cultivate, and you can help grow that kingdom of God, and you will receive that 100-fold or the 60 or that 30-fold blessing. Well, I hope you enjoy these messages. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise God for that. We'd love to have you help support this ministry so we can keep these messages coming each and every Sunday. You can contact us at Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. You can go to PayPal, use your debit or credit card, paypal.me/gatheroutcast. That's paypal.me/gatheroutcast. Or you can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/Jim Rao, and see pictures of the ministry there in Africa. Thank you again for listening. We'd love to hear from you today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.